Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, I'm looking for my helper, Chad. He's not back in yet. I always like to call on the front row usher that sits there. I call it the hot seat. So when he gets back, I might have a hot seat moment with him. He's doing baskets. Well, we'll see if he comes back or not. If he doesn't come back, he's out of the hot seat today. Oh, he's at the door. They're pointing you out. I need you to come back for a minute, Mr. Chad. Yeah. See, he knows something that every usher knows. When you're seated up here, it's the hot seat. And see, you didn't know I needed you this morning for something special, did you? I kind of gave you warning earlier, but it's a contest, really. See if you can guess something accurately. Tell us how much that you think that weighs right there. He said, oh, man.
Is that 100 pounds?
He says 100 pounds. Let's see you lift 100 pounds. Think he can do it? He's a front row usher. They can do anything. That's all I'm proving this morning. A little lighter than 100 pounds. It didn't look like it took too much to lift it. Think he can lift it over his head 10 times? He's shaking his head. No, I'm not going to make you do that. Thank you. I just wanted to interact with him just to give him a little orneriness. Can I do that? That's the one way that you love people, you know, is you just, and it was beyond orneriness. I want to acknowledge our ushers this morning. Appreciate all the work that they do and the vigilance that they have and willingness to put up with pastor who sometimes needs things at the last minute. Thank you for that. Just proving a point. I've never had any of them tell me no yet. They might be like, what? But they don't say no. Well, this morning, as we jump into the Word, there's something that I feel compelled to convey to you. Jesus came not to represent himself when he came. He came first to do a job for his heavenly Father. Jesus represents a heavenly Father that people don't always stop to think about, but it's who we were created to be like. So when we look at our heavenly Father, we're seeing a picture of how God designed us to be. And when we do that, it shouldn't make us feel condemned. It should make us feel hopeful that something of our heavenly Father is in every person. Now, they may not know that they're called to be a part of the family of God. We're adopted into the family when we say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. That brings us into the family. But every person that now exists or ever did was made to be like the Heavenly Father. We even look a little bit like him. But to become like him, it only happens because Jesus, his Spirit, comes to live inside of us. So when we accept Jesus, we're saying, I want to be like God who made me, not just in how I look, but how I feel, how I'm motivated on the inside, how I look at other people. The greatest thing I remember happening in my life, I was just a kid when I was accepted Jesus as Savior, but I remember my outlook on life changed. And it became less about me looking out for me and more about me understanding Jesus was looking out for other people, and I should learn how to do that. So some of the outreaches we do kind of tag to that, because that's really how we do ministry. We learn to see through Father God's eyes to needs within his creation, not just his family. Sometimes God wants to reach out to somebody who doesn't know him yet, so they'll come into the family. Because love makes you want to be a part. Love makes you want to be a part of a family. I remember when we were kids, there were about 70, 75 of us at family gatherings on my mom's side. There were 8 aunts and 8 uncles and lots of cousins. And we would come together to do this event, and I remember how people would say on the outside, I wish I was a part of a family like that. The bigness of it and the celebration of it and the going to school. And I didn't have one or two cousins. I had a dozen in about every grade, I think. And why you just had a sense of belonging. Everybody wants that. And the Heavenly Father designed us to want that. So we're going to look today at the extravagance of the grace of God. If you're here this morning and you've not heard the gospel is always only measured by one thing. It's good news. When it's not good news, it's not the gospel. It's something else. And many times we get things mixed up with the gospel because we think we know more than God does, and we do not. So we want to go back to the basic, simple truth of, you know, the Heavenly Father is extravagant. He's in heaven waiting for one thing to happen for you to get there. He has designed a personal party to receive you. He knows everything that makes you tick. He knows everything that ticks you off. And he's going to have the right end of things there because there's no enemy in heaven. So imagine the perfect party where nobody got in, nobody was invited that could tick you off, not because they weren't invited, but because they can't tick you off. A perfect family, a perfect situation. I don't know anybody that can go to a big gathering and not have somebody they could choose to be mad at. But it won't happen in heaven. And the wonderful thing, when you get there, it won't happen to you, and it won't happen through you either. He takes away all offense. He takes away all of that because we were never designed to have to deal with the pain of any of those things. Jesus in Luke chapter 15 was teaching, and he was teaching because he was a little aggravated. He had been reaching out to people who didn't know God. Scripture would call them sinners. Well, that could be anybody. I know a lot of people who say they know God, but they still could tag that name to their list of descriptive words. Why? We're imperfect people. So Jesus was talking to a crowd of imperfect people, and there were a few who thought they were better than everybody else in the crowd. They were called the Pharisees. They thought they were doing everything right. Then there was another end of the spectrum of people who knew they were doing everything wrong, and they were the tax collectors. So you had religion and government there. In a formalized sense, they didn't have a lot of God working on their behalf. Now, I'm not down on religion or government. I'm down on judgment. In the body of Christ, we're not to look to judge another, but look at ourselves. So Jesus is dealing with these folks being aggravated with him. And the Pharisees in particular are saying, what's he doing talking to them? Doesn't he know they don't count? Doesn't he know they're nobody? Well, somewhere between that big scope of the tax collector and the Pharisee, we'll find ourselves in how we look at everybody else. And if we're not looking, we're in the biggest trouble of all. Because we're to be looking for a way to express who our Heavenly Father is. Our responsibility in the Christmas season is to represent Jesus as Lord. We want to know who he is. He is like the Heavenly Father. Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, talking of himself, then we've seen the Heavenly Father. We're supposed to represent him. Well, let's see what he said. This is Luke 15. He said, what man of you? Jesus gives three scenarios that show what kind of Heavenly Father we have. Three scenarios that show how we come to him. And I'm going to be kind of brief on all three because I want to hit on all three. They show who he is. They show what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives now. They show what God intends when we get to heaven. Now, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, would leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that's lost until he finds it? Well, if you know about shepherding, you don't leave the 99 to go get the one, because the 99 might get eaten up by the wolf. Only Jesus would do that. Only Jesus would look at any one of us and say, I'm going to put all of these 99 in safekeeping. He's not going to let the wolf get them. But only he has that ability. So he does that. Why? To go after the one. I don't know if you've ever been the one singled out to be wanted so bad, especially when you were hurting. But there's no feeling like that in the world. That's the feeling of Jesus' extravagant grace to go find us. And when we get saved, we each had an experience like that. Varying degrees of how we felt, but he's reaching beyond our wandering off. And this is a picture of Jesus and how he came for everybody. We all wandered off from God. We may not have known it. I know a lot of people today that they would say they have no belief in God, when in reality they do. They have a belief to not believe in Him. That's a belief. All right. And they don't know that that's a very dangerous place, but we wake up and realize that because we start to feel alone. There's something that Jesus is doing in the loneliness of a holiday season. Be a part of it. He leaves the ones that are not lonely to go get the one that is. We can be a part of that. That's the extravagant love that Jesus has for us, in an extravagant grace where He's putting His bets on going and getting one. And this is what He says He did. And when He's found it, He lays it on His shoulders, rejoicing. Jesus isn't reprimanding the little sheep, is He? Save your reprimands whenever you have one. If you're winning somebody into the kingdom, or convincing somebody to come to church, or convincing somebody to come home and visit you, lay all ideas of reprimand on the shelf and act like Jesus, who acts like our Heavenly Father, that says, I'm going to make the most of this moment, and I'm going to have a good time. And He put the lamb on His shoulders. Why? He didn't even want the little thing to have to stumble along. He didn't want me to have to stumble along behind Him. He said, I've got you, you're safe, and I'm going to carry you. I don't know about you, but I still experience moments where I let Him carry me. It's like, I've done everything I know today. I feel like exhausted, wiped out, and I've had about all I can take. And I see myself letting Him carry me, not maybe like a sheep, but carrying me like this. If you've ever seen the picture of Jesus carrying the man that looks like he's about dead, I felt like that before. Said, Jesus, carry me out of here. And He does that. And His extravagant love doesn't turn to us to tell us what we've done wrong. His love rather expresses we're safe and we're loved and we're wanted now. And when He comes home, He calls together His friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with Me. He's not telling them, look what He did wrong. Look how stupid He was. He should have known better. Aren't you glad God isn't like that? See, we're seeing a picture of Jesus that tells us how God is. He's not focused on what's wrong. He's so focused on what's right that whenever we come in, even if we're being carried by Jesus, even if we're a little battered, He's rejoicing and stirring up a celebration. This is a season of celebration. And when we reach out to those that aren't feeling it, we help Jesus reach them so they can feel it. Now, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who turns to God from his sins than over 99 righteous people who have no need to repent. 1 in 100. And he's saying there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. You know what a sinner is? It's somebody that knows to do right and they don't do it. That's pretty simple. Ever done that? Anybody going to admit? I mean, you're on camera, going to admit to be in the human race. Have done wrong, even knowing to do right. I remember the first time I got caught doing that was in this town at the general store, and I took an extra penny candy. They were 2 for a penny. And I put 3 for a penny up there, and I got called on it. Say, well, that sounds terrible, Pastor. Why would you admit it? Well, if I pressed you hard enough, you'd have something to admit. It may not be as little as a half a penny candy. But I remember learning the lesson because I was called on it. I was asked to apologize. But then I was told to make it right. Now, that sounds a little bit like a penalty was involved. Well, some of the things that we learn in this life have a little lesson attached to it early. So we understand it's not the place we're supposed to go. Heavenly Father's Word does that for us. He lets us know when something is going to hurt us in the future, even if it's something we've done in the past. He says, don't do that again. I can assure you I never did that again. All right, now, this is a picture of Jesus in all-out pursuit. He's in all-out pursuit for you to experience the fullness of His goodness. He never stops that. Sometimes we think, well, I'm kind of separate from all the church stuff or separate from this Christian stuff. You're never going to be separate from His love. We can't get away from it. Why? He designed the earth and He made us to live in it. And He designed love to reach across every border. He designed love to be in the person of Jesus to say, I'm going to carry Him. I'm going to pick Him up. I don't think the little sheep had energy to get away. At some point, you may not know it, but you're going to run out of energy. You're going to find that you might be running from the wrong one. He's extravagant, running to us, not to bring a reprimand, but to rescue us. I want to give a clear picture that Jesus is representing the Heavenly Father. Jesus is on a mission. Jesus came on this mission when he was born as a little baby in Bethlehem. He was a secret ops agent of the Heavenly Father coming to rescue each one of us. And he had the plan inside of him set in stone. That's why when he went to the cross in the final moments, he said, "It's finished." And he looked at each one of us and he said, "Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha." And he's just waiting for the moment when we recognize he did it for us. That's the first great wave of the extravagance of his love and grace toward you. Now, he's looking for everybody in that. There's nobody excluded in that. But then Jesus went on to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in the earth, the work of the Holy Spirit to go out and get the ones that he has lost. Did you know when everybody was lost, Adam and Eve in the garden when they fell, God started the process of sending Jesus, that it's because they're all lost. Well, then a number of people come into the family. They say, "I want Jesus as my Savior." But then they kind of forget about him because they're not maybe in big enough trouble to remember him. Because that's how a lot of people live. We just kind of tend to forget we needed rescued in the first place. And once you've been rescued, I won't take time for the story. I have some rescue stories. I've been rescued a few times from drowning, number one. I remember I never looked at the water the same way after that. I never looked at a shark fin the same way after that. It changed me. When we're truly saved by the Lord Jesus, it changes us, and we keep a tether to the Master. Still, when I swim in the ocean, I locate where are the lifeguard stations and are they up there? And could they hear me if I yelled really loudly? If I don't think they could hear me, I get closer to shore. I want you to recognize that's the minimum relationship we need to have with Jesus as Savior for us to have any sense of security. But this world is designed like the tide of the ocean to pull us out away from the lifeguard station. He can hear us because his eye never leaves us, but our cry, we think, won't be heard. He'll always hear it. But then there's a second kind of extravagant pursuit that God makes. Remember, Jesus represents the Heavenly Father. Even too, the Holy Spirit represents the Heavenly Father. They all represent one another. You can't cut God into three pieces, though he is three persons. They're all the same. Think of it this way. God has the same personality, no matter who you're dealing with. I'm glad of that. I don't want to get to heaven knowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father say, "And dude, who are you?" I want to make sure why I look at what the Scripture says. It says, if I know Jesus, I know everybody. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus goes on to say to this crowd something that they wouldn't understand that we should understand today. Many people get to the end of their tether. They get too far out there. And this is a season, if I could preach anything in any church today, it would be along these lines. Jesus never cuts the cord, but we're the one to reel it in. He looks for us to want him again. And it's an amazing thing when I go fishing, sometimes I think I've lost the fish till I pull it just right. Oh, he's on there. The Spirit of God never leaves you that way. You just sometimes need to reel in a little line that you've given yourself. Why? You want to be caught by him. You're not going to the fry pan. You're going to the giant aquarium to be saved and never be eaten up. See, that's who the Holy Spirit is. He's out to keep us for the Lord in this world. He's out to protect us from trouble in this world. But at first, it feels like we're being caught and restricted because we have a sense of being reeled in and it feels unnatural. Why? We've been separate enough from God. We've been wiggling around too much on our own, thinking it's freedom, and really it's the bondage, because one day all the water's going out of the pond and all the little fish are going to be caught that are left there. And I'd rather be caught and be in the aquarium than left for the pond to be drained. Now, fishing story. The Holy Spirit is sent mostly for targeted recovery. You know, if we were to fall away from the Lord, he's the one that's got us on the line. He's got the tether. Welcome home. good to see you. Like I say, I walk out, I get to zero in on everybody and see them a little better. My eyes, you know, I don't wear glasses when I'm preaching because I can't see you, but when I get real close, I can see everybody, and I like that. So I walk around. Good to see you. Good to see you. They tell me if I walk too far, the camera can't follow me, so I wave into the back. The Holy Spirit is always on a recovery mission. He's out to recover those that are pulled away from the Lord and outside of fellowship. He's out to bring in those that have strayed too far. And Jesus talks about this. Now, to the Pharisees, this is unheard of. Because if you were a Pharisee, you kept all the rules or pretended that you did and got on everybody else's case when they didn't. So today we'd call it kind of hypocritical. If you've ever heard anybody say, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, that attitude is in humanity, but we're wiping it out because we're becoming more like Jesus. And we're not going to be judgmental that way. But anyway, there's that crowd. There's a crowd of the Pharisees. And they don't get this next piece about the Holy Spirit. Folks that aren't tender toward the Lord don't understand the Holy Spirit. But those that have ever strayed understand the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that says, I will never give up on you. I remember in the worst time I ever got in trouble as a young man still living at home, I remember the best thing I ever heard was, we still love you. Oh, I waited to hear that because I wondered if I was going to hear it or how long would it be. How valuable those words are because they are an expression of who the Heavenly Father is, still loving us. So the tax collectors in the group were the least loved of any people, and they knew it. They knew that they were not popular. So for Jesus to be talking to them was like extra special. Somehow they were wondering, when will the other shoe drop? Well, because Jesus was known as a rabbi. He was known to be a part of the Jewish Old Testament church like the Pharisees were, but Jesus wasn't like a Pharisee. Jesus wasn't like a Sadducee. Jesus was like the Heavenly Father, and he wanted them to see who the Heavenly Father was. So in all of their rejection, he turned the message toward them. And when we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we can look to both ends of the scale and say those that have pulled away from God because they think he's into a set of rules, and those who know they're breaking all the rules can all come to the middle because the Holy Spirit will draw everybody in and say, I'm going to treat everybody equally, and I'm going to love everybody the same. And the tax collectors were loving having Jesus here because it was something that they didn't get very often, even when they went to synagogue or to their church, because they were kind of known to bend and break the rules and take money for themselves and do things for themselves. And I'd say it this way, they were selfish. So we see this crowd that Jesus is now going to give them another picture of the Heavenly Father's extravagant love. This is of the Holy Spirit on a targeted recovery. Have you ever been the person that strayed from the goodness of God and you became the target of his love and he drew you back in? This will relate to you. What woman? Now God's talking about being a woman. Whenever you see God as a leaning toward feminine side in Scripture, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. Or the mothering nature, or the mercy nature, or the blind eye nature to us. I remember growing up, Mom was the one a little more merciful in our house between Lucinda and I. Mom was the more merciful. And if she needed a picture of Dad's going to get you, your father's coming home tonight. And behavior would change. But by the time I got home, they had time to work on Mama. Don't you know the Heavenly Father gave us the Holy Spirit so we'd have a mama to work on before we appear before him because we're afraid of judgment, even though he says he's not going to judge us? Those kids knew they'd watch the clock. Oh, dad's 100 miles closer. Oh, he's 50 miles away. Oh, and I mean, by the time Dad rolled in, angels lived in the house. Now, we're kind of the same way. We might as well admit our childlikeness. When we think about the discipline of God, we can comply if we want to, especially if we think time is running out. Many times people respond to the Lord that way. But there's another thing God allows in the family. The Holy Spirit, or think of it this way, the gentler, more patient manifestation of God working through mama. And mama could be worked on, and the kids learned how. They learned how to become extra compliant, and Gregory learned how to make a little face and do a little thing on his mom. And I wish he was here to perfect it. He could show exactly. He'd throw out his upper lip, say, "Mommy, laugh. Laugh at me, Mommy. I know you want to be happy, Mommy. I know you're just going to be excited and happy, Mommy," and try to just get her to disposition to change and soften and yield to where maybe Mommy would forget about having Daddy do anything about it when Daddy got home. And you probably, if you've had a child, you've had some form of that go on in your family. Don't think your family invented that. God invented that for His family. Do you know why? He's going to work on us from every angle to teach us how to cooperate with His love. And I loved the fact that Mommy became subject to all of that. So when Daddy got home, he could just love on the kids and hold them on his lap, tell them everything's wonderful, and give them a cookie or a candy or a present or a hug or a whatever, because I didn't want to come in there with a switch. Who would want to? I didn't want to be known as the only time Dad's home, he's spanking us all the time. No. Did they get the? Well, they got a few. But not like that, not because of a threat. Now, why do we get a few? Because we don't always line up to the nature of Daddy or Mama. That's when we really get in trouble. Did you know when you're negotiating with God and the Holy Spirit's working on you, He's going to keep you out of trouble? That's called a grace season. That grace season is time is running out on this matter, and we're going to resolve it, but let's soften things. Jesus did such a work that the Holy Spirit, understand who the Holy Spirit is. It's the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus wants to be easy on everybody. Why? The Heavenly Father's just out to have a party. The Heavenly Father just wants to celebrate every person. The Heavenly Father wants to point out everything good. You know, people worry about the judgment seat of Christ. It's only for those who reject Jesus. Did you know? You're not going to be before the great white throne of judgment if you choose Jesus as Savior. You just got saved from that. You're going to have another moment where you appear before Him, but it's a reward session. Did you know what else happens at the party is crowns are given out, rewards are given out, acknowledgments are being made. Nowhere in the Scripture do I say that He's going to point to any one of us and say, "I had this for you, but you don't get it because you were bad today." It got quiet in here. It's sort of a surprise to some people that the Holy Spirit is here and left behind so that we can work things out with the Holy Spirit to understand when we appear before the Heavenly Father, Jesus already took care of all of it anyway. It's under the blood. And the Holy Spirit wants to say things like, "Don't you know you can't get in trouble for that? You just need to repent and turn, change your way." Repentance is the key. So Jesus, even here in talking about the Holy Spirit, says, if one person repents, all of heaven rejoices. Here's what He says. What woman having 10 valuable silver coins, if she lose one piece, won't light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? That's a picture of the Holy Spirit. A picture of the Holy Spirit. Something belonged to God, and it got away from her, the Holy Spirit. Something was in the hand of God, and it's interesting here, the Holy Spirit takes responsibility for losing it. If you have a loved one away from the Lord Jesus, know how the Holy Spirit sees it. He's not blaming you. He's not blaming them. He's taking responsibility. The Holy Spirit is saying, that one belonged to me, and I'm getting it back, and I'm going to light the candle and sweep the house and rip up the floorboards if I have to, because this is the most valuable silver coin of the day, and she's not going to settle for having 9. She wants all 10. Ever lost anything that valuable to you? I have. And you turn the house upside down. And when you can't find it, you have everybody else turn the house upside down. Know that that's how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. Individually to turn the floorboards in our life upside down so we find meaning and we find value. But He's looking for those that have gotten away. I have a special passion in my heart in this day and age for those that once knew Jesus well and now they're making up stories about it. The glory days, the old days, you know. A lot of times when people get older, they talk about the glory days of their youth. instead of the glory days of their future. God wants us to always look to the future being more glorious than the past. But many lose sight of that because they lose fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit. When we lose fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit, we don't feel like anything special anymore. Because what made us special to the Lord by being owned by Him and a part of something that He's doing got obscured, usually because we fell out of His hand. But God still doesn't blame us for falling out, even if we roll between the floorboards and get stuck. We have some upstairs in our house. Some of the floorboards are separated a little bit. Very old house. I'm very careful what I handle over those loose floorboards, because I've had to lift one before. If the right thing will roll right down in and go down in there, I'm going to pull it up. Know that you're going to have some experience like that so that you can relate to other people who once had a touch from God, but they've lost touch with His hand. Somehow He never leaves us, but we can roll out of His hand. And it's just like the enemy to open up the floorboards to let somebody fall between the cracks. Ever had anybody in your life kind of fall out of fellowship and they seemingly fall out of circulation, fall out of the crack, fall between the cracks? It's kind of like a coin going out of circulation. I have a big box full of those that are valuable. And that's the reason they're not in circulation, because I'm keeping them. Jesus wants us to be in circulation as long as we're here. Because there's something about being in the company of everybody that He values that we feel more valuable. There's something about letting the hand of the Holy Spirit put a grip on us and say, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to lose you. That once we've been out of His hand, we want to be back in there again. The sense of value, the sense of belonging, the sense of fellowship really comes from our interaction with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is telling this to two groups, all in one group. And the disciples are hearing it. But the Pharisees on one hand saying, who does He think He is telling people they can have it this good? And then the tax collector saying, Jesus, tell me some more so I can choose to believe this. And both ends are having a problem with Jesus, and Jesus is just bringing it on anyway. He's trying to tell them, your heavenly Father has a nurturing nature like a mama would have for a brood of kids, no matter what end of the scale you're on. If you have kids, one end of the scale, one day one kid's on the high end, the next day he might be on the low end and the other kid's on the high end. Why? We're that variable. Did it change the Holy Spirit's love for us? Not one bit. He never gives up, because the value is the same no matter whether we're in His hand or we've rolled between the floorboards. The value is the same. Unestimable value. Yeah. Here's what He says. And when she had found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, this is a picture of church, should be, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. See how He owns it? See how the Holy Spirit, He doesn't blame the person. When we get back in the hand of God, He doesn't say, if you had only been good back there. I'm glad for that. Anybody else glad for that? I'm glad He's not thinking penalty, but He's thinking blessing. I'm as glad. I have to every so often think about that. Why? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I would say, I'm going to hop right in your hand. I'm going to be the coin that sprouts legs and jumps up in there in your hand. I want to be that one. Now, in the same way, there is joy among God's angels when one sinner repents. In other words, these are the things we should celebrate. These are the things that teach us what we should overlook. We should not be looking at the dark chapters in anybody's history, but the God chapters. When we're in fellowship with Him and walking with Him. And when we adopt that as the standard, others want to be in on that. Who wants to come to God thinking that you're going to go through a season of judgment first? He doesn't do that. Jesus came to do away with all of that. That's why the great white throne doesn't include those that served the Lord well, walked with Him and loved Him and chose Him as Savior. It's for those that rejected Him, because the Heavenly Father says, I don't get it. How could they not accept my love? How could they not let me love them in such an extravagant way? Then there's a picture of the Heavenly Father. And I want you to look at this picture, because we've seen Jesus coming in person as the good shepherd. The shepherd that will not do normal shepherding. He does supernatural shepherding. He doesn't want to leave anybody behind. He wants everybody to be safe, and He'll go in to rescue everybody. He came to rescue everybody. It wasn't a selective list. It was an everybody list. Then the Holy Spirit said, my job is to keep everybody in close fellowship. My job is to let them know they're valued. My job is to let them know that they are God's currency in the earth, that they are his witness in the earth, that they are how he shows value to people in the earth. And I want to keep them all right there where I have them at my disposal. Why? Coins go into circulation. They're not just used up. They go around again and again and again. Your life should look like that, serving Jesus. Just a new chapter. Just some other way he's going to work through you to accomplish something he wants to do. This is of the Heavenly Father. This is a picture of his full faith anticipation. Did you know he's prepared a party even for those that he has heard are not likely to ever serve him? Did you know when you're lost and very lost, and sometimes a Christian witnesses to you and they say, I think he's a hopeless case. Have you ever been a hopeless case? There are a lot of hopeless cases. Or they maybe come to Jesus and then fall away and say, it isn't working for me. And somebody says, I think that's just a hopeless case. That's one of those that must not be on God's list. No, everybody's on God's list. To the point that he's personally designed the homecoming party to tailor you, to be celebrating you because you chose to believe in him. All we have to do is believe in him, and he's preparing a table. He said it happened in the middle of enemies, but he'd prepare it anyway. A certain man had two sons. This is a picture of New Testament and Old Testament. I'm not going to teach on it this morning because this is more preaching than teaching. Now, the New Testament son is who we are. We're the grace son. In scriptural terms, we're the younger of two brothers. The older brother is the Jewish tradition, the Old Testament church. The older brother is a picture, it could be of our flesh. The younger brother of coming in, when we come into God's family, when we're adopted in, when we're born again, when Jesus comes to live in our heart, we become in nature the younger son. What does that mean? Scripture says that the older will serve the younger. It means we'll get it together the way God designed it to be, and we'll be spiritual, and we'll be loving, and we'll be like the Heavenly Father instead of like the devil. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? It says we're adopted in so that nature can rub off on us. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided them his living. They both got it. I want you to see that. God didn't keep the Jews out. He gave them both inheritance. He gave us an inheritance and them an inheritance. The younger son gathered it all together and took his journey into a far country and wasted his goods in riotous living. But after he had spent it all, a severe famine arose throughout that country and he began to feel the pinch. I use those words because that's how the complete Jewish Bible describes it. If you understand Jewish tradition, when you're feeling the pinch, it means you're hurting for money or hurting for food. So he got in a position where he was hurting. And he was feeding the pigs on an empty stomach. Now, this is the one that's supposed to be on top, but he's not. Why? He squandered what God did for him. Well, that's every person. So on an empty stomach, when he came to his senses, feeding the pigs, and he arose to go to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran to hug him and kiss him. I want you to see that's who Heavenly Father is. That's his disposition toward us when we're at our worst. When we've done our dumbest thing, when we've been apart from fellowship, when we've gone out there and even been reckless, he's waiting for us. He can't come running. He doesn't have the permission in the earth to come running until we turn to him. Then he can come running. Know when you appear on God's radar is when you turn to him. Faith in his name gets him through to you every time. That's what does it. That's what the scripture teaches. So we don't see the father here saying, son, let me do an accounting statement with you. You spent this much on what? You spent this much having how many parties? You, what do you think coming back here? You didn't do any of that. We don't see any record of him in this story. Jesus doesn't talk about father doing that. It's a father rather the moment he glimpses on the horizon a silhouette. This is faith. He couldn't see the boy's eyes. The boy had already lost his inheritance. He wasn't coming back in the camel train with riches. He was stumbling in alone and sure didn't look like a son of the master, a son of the father off in the distance, looked like a bum. But God said, that's my boy. And the Heavenly Father came racing out, breaking every barrier. Why? He'd been watching all this time for a glimpse of the Son having faith in the nature of His Father, saying one thing, my Son knows I love Him. That's what the Heavenly Father says to every person. Down inside of us is the ability, or the desire at least, to be loved by Heavenly Father. And the Son said unto Him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in Thy sight. Now, notice He doesn't ignore that He's done wrong. He admits it. That's probably the impasse most people have, is because they don't know Father is loving and generous. They don't want to admit when we're stupid or foolish or sinful. And I'm not worthy to be called your son. I love what the Father said to His servants. Bring the best robe. In Jewish tradition, that means the colorful one, the number one robe, the one reserved for the eldest son. Now, put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring to me the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Notice what's on the Father's mind. Let's fix him up and let's have a party. They've not had a counseling session. They've not had 10 steps to recover. They're having a party. I'm going to tell you something about the Heavenly Father. He knows you will overcome 10 steps if you come to the party. He knows if you'll look to His nature, you'll recover supernaturally instead of needing the steps. When we don't have a God encounter, when we're in trouble, we'll have to keep pacing ourselves through the steps. That's what the Pharisees were about. You're going to do all of these things for God to love you. And the Heavenly Father says, no, you're going to love me and I'm going to love you, and we're going to have a good time together. I know which one I would rather serve. I would rather serve the one that says we're going to have a good time. And then I learn from him, oh, there are some steps. There are some things I can do to be more pleasing. There are some things I can do to stay out of trouble from now on. There's some sin I can avoid, and I will walk in this life in a more protected way where the enemy can't get to me. And we learn to stay close to home by staying in fellowship with this Heavenly Father. He said, for this my son was dead and is alive again. This is a picture of what happens when the Holy Spirit has His way. We were dead and we come to life again. It isn't just a picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. It's a picture of everybody allowing the love of God and the grace of God to work in our lives. He was lost and He's now found. And they began to be merry. Notice the Father's heart, and know this is the heart of God toward you. He wants a reason to celebrate you. And you give Him the reason by choice. And the choice is yours to make privately in your heart. But today, some of you may not know Jesus at all. You've never made Him Savior. That's the first most important thing to do. Then you get on the line with God. And no matter how far out there it seems like you swim, He's not going to turn loose of you. You can spit out the hook if you want to, but He's not going to turn loose of you. He's going to keep you on the line, and He's going to keep just a little pressure there. Why? He knows if we respond to His pressure, it'll bring us closer and closer to Him. When you go through something and you think, why is God allowing this? Always respond the same way. Don't fuss at God. It isn't His fault. When you're feeling separated, it's because you took a swim out there. Let the tension on the line pull you in. Here's how loving the Heavenly Father is. He doesn't jerk and set that hook in your mouth. Ever catch a fish like that and it swallowed it way down in there? Not a good picture. But He just keeps reeling in and reeling in and reeling in. And we tend to swim toward Him. Why? We recognize the closer I get to Him, the more I know He loves me. The closer I get to Him, the more I know He's not out to hurt me. He's out to save me. He's out to help me. And we recognize then heaven's like a big aquarium, and He's going to put us in there forever. But while we're here, He wants us in His holding pond. Why? He feeds us, doesn't He? He takes care of us. He loves us. There's a no fishing sign on that pond. Did you know it? Where once He catches you, nobody else can catch you unless you jump the dam into some other pond. It's hard to do as a little fish to jump the dam and get in the creek and swim back where you came from. He made it hard on purpose. That's his extravagant love for us. I want you to stand this morning. I'm going to open the altar and pray. I'd ask the elders to come and be in a position to pray for any needs, any desires this morning. This morning, we're in a season where the Heavenly Father wants everybody to enjoy being in the family. Just take your places up here. If you don't know Jesus this morning and somehow this word has encouraged you, say, I want to be on the line with God so I'm safe. I want to make heaven. Well, it feels like, well, should I do that in front of all these people? Yeah, heaven's watching. It says all of heaven's going to rejoice. You trigger the confetti to fall in heaven. You trigger the sound of celebration. Ever been in a restaurant where they interrupt your meal to sing happy birthday to somebody? Heaven is a lot more chaotic than that, okay? Why? There's decisions being made for God all the time. And in heaven, there's a rallying cry. Why? There's a section of heaven waiting to cheer for you. Did you know it? People that maybe went before that know you, maybe your ancient ancestors, to say, that's my great, 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 great granddaughter. And I'm going to have a party because she's coming in. That's what heaven is about. It's not a mournful place saying, oh, look at the pitiful earth and look at the pitiful people. It's an expectation that Jesus is catching everybody that he can because of his love being demonstrated by his church. So if you don't know Jesus, I want you to come this morning. Let somebody pray with you so that you're in a safe place. If you have fallen away and you're in church today for whatever reason, it's kind of the season. It's kind of the, I heard several people this week when I was in public. When I'm out in public, I listen. I reserve my words till I'm asked something, but I listen carefully. And a lot of people said things like, I'm doing the God thing, you know, it's Christmas, and I'm going to do the Christmas thing, and I'm listening, what's the Christmas thing? And it was family, and it was presents, and it was food, and somewhere in there for some, it was they're going to do the church thing. And one person I heard particularly say that is, well, will anybody know you when you get there? When did you last go? I don't remember. If you're here today and maybe some part of that touches your heart, the Holy Spirit is drawing you here. You may not have known it. He chums the water once in a while. Did you know that's why he throws a lot of good food in there and says, come on up in here. And the goodness of God is like that. Why? He's out to catch us for our good, not to hurt us. He's never going to do anything to hurt you. But if you're here today and you're the coin that fell out of the hand of God, this is how you let him pick you back up. You let his light shine on you. In the picture, the Holy Spirit lit a candle and picked up a broom. I'd rather respond to the candle than wait for the broom. Just in case there's a dual message there. I'd give in to the candle. That's easier on you than the broom. Third thing is we see Jesus just wanting to love us forever in the nature of the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father wanting to make everything right. If there's something you want prayer for because something's not right, the Heavenly Father is saying to come to him and let him do some business with you. Whenever we respond to him that way, he sees it as faith. The Father looked across the horizon and saw his son afar off and came running. Something you can expect in this altar is the Spirit of God, the Heavenly Father, to come running to you to meet your need. He's not waiting for you to pay penance. He's already paid the price. He's just saying, come to me. If you labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's going to give you peace. He's going to give you rest. This morning, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Did you know that? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great love that you have toward us, Father, that you just wait to celebrate the next thing with us. Every time we come to you, you want to celebrate good decisions. You want to celebrate our response to your word. You tell us that we turn from our past mistakes, our past sin, our past life when we come to you. You see it as a turning away from one thing so that we can embrace you. So, Father, we don't come just anticipating a shoe in, but rather a relationship with you to stay on the right path for life. Father, if we need healing in our body, I ask that Jesus be the healer this morning. Father, if there's any hurt and disappointment, that you drive out the hurt and disappointment. If there's unrest, that you minister peace. Father, a peace that passes all understanding. Father, if there's any sense of loss or depression, that you fill the void. Father, for families that are broken or separated or have lost somebody in this year and are doing Christmas differently, doing the holidays differently, I ask that you be with them in a special way. Father, for those that hear the stirring and calling of your Holy Spirit, anoint us to be your ministers of love. Father, especially now, especially when the world is looking for who is a Christian, what is a Christian, what did Jesus do, what's this all about anyway? Father, let us reach deep into the hearts of people by the work of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to feel good this morning about the extravagant love and grace of God towards you. It's real, and when you respond, you find out, wow, what a feeling. I remember still the feeling of God coming over me time and time again and the relief that comes. So if you want a relief, if you want help from the Master for any reason, come to the altar right now. Amen? All right. God bless you as you go. Amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.